Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, welcome back for another week.
Another week, and kind of a different one this time, the traditional week of retreat or spiritual exercises in the Vatican for the Holy Father and the ranking members of the Curia. They began Sunday evening, and they conclude always the Saturday afterwards. So it's very quiet. You go to the press office, and there's hardly anyone covering the news because there's no news. Maybe a couple of appointments, but there's no audiences, no general audience.
Well, it's the same with the news here at the radio, because we normally have the Vatican update, but there's nothing happening.
Exactly. You kind of have to look for news. And as a matter of fact, when I was at the Vatican Information Service one year, when we knew we were going to have these 5 days of diet, as far as news goes, maybe a couple of appointments. But you can't send a blank sheet out to your subscribers saying, sorry, there's no news today. And at least the thing is, our source, unlike maybe another wire service or agency, our source for the news had to be strictly the Roman Curia of Vatican City. So if you've got no meetings, no press conferences, no speeches, homilies, audiences, you're looking for news. And so one time, as a story, I thought, well, what's the background to these retreats? When did they begin? And very interestingly, it really goes back to Pope Pius XI. And in December 1929, he marked the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination and published an encyclical called Mens Nostra on the promotion of spiritual exercises. And you know, it always says on the cover of an encyclical or first page, to whom this is addressed, to the, you know, faithful of the world. He addresses it here to, I love this, patriarchs, primates, archbishops, bishops, and other local ordinaries in peace and communion with the Apostolic See. He looked back at the many fruits of the Jubilee year celebrated for his 50th anniversary, and he wrote, to express our heartfelt gratitude, we have deemed it fitting. Now remember, at that time, a pope did not talk in, he didn't say I for himself. He always said,
he always used the royal we.
The royal we, exactly. So he said we, meaning himself, deemed it fitting to establish something most excellent, which will, we trust, prove a source of many advantages to the Christian people. And he said, we're speaking of the practice of spiritual exercises, which we earnestly desire to see daily extended more widely, not only among the clergy, but also among the multitudes of the laity. And then he himself, Pius XI himself, went on to talk about the history of retreats, quoting predecessors on the subject, doctors of the church, and so forth. And he declared and constituted St. Ignatius of Loyola the heavenly patron of all spiritual exercises, and therefore of institutes, sodalities, and bodies of every kind who are making these exercises. Now, of course, anybody who's ever made a retreat or looked at the history of retreats, probably the most famous one is known as the Ignatian retreat, and it does last 30 days, the Jesuit.
I've actually made a 30-day retreat, and the normal Ignatian retreat that most people would know is a small version of the 30-day retreat. And a retreat is a very special time of the year. It's a time of prayer and certainly a lot of self-examination, so that you can leave the retreat with new energy and vitality and direction in life. But as somebody also described it, it's a holiday with the Lord.
That's a wonderful description. I can remember quite clearly the first retreat I ever made was in high school, and then we had, you know, always retreats in college. Sometimes it's a little more difficult when you're out in the working world trying to ask your boss off for, you know, 3 days or a week. You almost have to look for just a weekend retreat. But I can remember the first time I did it, I thought, oh, isn't this going to be boring? Well, I want to tell you, if you have a really good retreat master, it is the least boring thing you can ever do. It is quiet. It is solitude. You're listening to someone else. You have a long, you know, moments of prayer, not just the Mass, but moments of quiet and peace to yourself. And if done in the proper setting, you really don't want it to end when a retreat is over. They're very, very beautiful if done. And I'm sure this ought to be very interesting this year, just looking at some of the contents. Cardinal Giacomo Biffi, of a renowned speaker and the former Archbishop of Bologna, who's known for sometimes, you know, speaking his mind, if you will, on different subjects. Anyway, he's the retreat master. First sermon by Cardinal Biffi, of course, was Sunday night. Then there's three sermons each day. There's Vespers. They have the Eucharistic exposition and celebration of lauds, meditation, terts, and so forth. That's pretty much how the day goes. And, I mean, each day is identical except for the contents of the sermon. And by the way, if our listeners would like to visit the chapel where the retreat is taking place, unlike the Renaissance Sistine Chapel, so much of the other chapels and art and so forth that you can see even in the Vatican museums. Or if you go to the Vatican's website, vatican.va, and choose your language, in the lower left-hand corner, if you will, side of the homepage, it says Redemptoris Mater. Click on that and you will take a virtual tour of this immensely beautiful chapel, much more modern than any other art you would have seen up until that point, certainly in St. Peter's or in the Vatican museums. And by the way, interestingly enough, the Holy Father, as you walk in the chapel and you're looking at the altar area, there's a little room off to the right. I've seen it but haven't been in it. I don't know if there's another altar or something. Anyway, it is in that room that the Holy Father is seated. So the retreat master does not have to wonder, is he saying the right thing or not, or watch for
the
Pope's reaction. I would think so. And I don't remember the year that he first did it, but this is Cardinal Biffi's second time as retreat master. So, and then, you know, you and I were talking before the show about another piece of news, since there is so little news, kind of one of the ongoing stories.
It's moving from spiritual exercises to physical exercises.
Exactly.
And the Clericus Cup.
Well, you know, this Clericus Cup has gotten so much attention. This is a soccer tournament for priests and seminarians in the diocese and actually of Rome and the region, I think, even of Lazio. And this was set up by the Sports and Leisures Division of the Italian Episcopal Conference, together with the CSI, which is not a crime and forensics unit, and anybody who watches TV may have known, but it is the Centro Sportivo Italiano. So the Cup literally kicked off on Saturday, the 24th of February. There's an elimination phase, and then they go into the final X number of teams playing in the absolute final of these teams from seminaries and so forth will be played in June in Rome. And so your first game was on the 24th, and that was between a group of Brazilian players, all Brazilians as a matter of fact, from the Gregorian University, and a mixed team, though mainly Mexicans, from the seminary of the Legionaries of Christ. And where a lot of people expected the Brazilians to be very brilliant, the Mater Ecclesiae, Mother of the Church, if you will, seminary, came out on top 6-0. It was a real fun game. I mean, there were several hundred fans. I think there might have been more photographers and media people than even there were fans.
Well, the seminaries might have some good players, but football isn't their main focus, so their games are just fun.
Oh, and that's the wonderful thing about it. You're not out here, I mean, there'll be some kind of a cup, but you're not out here to, you know, set up, get a reputation for the World Cup of Soccer or something else like that. But it's gotten an awful lot of interest. And one of the things I love about the game is that the players are still asking if the seminarians from Mater Ecclesiae won because their goalie was named Jesus. So it's a great, great question. But the Mexicans did overpower the Brazilians in the professional world. You wouldn't have probably seen the same result.
So you'll just have to watch the Clericus Cup League.
And for our American listeners, I might say that the North American College plays Saturday, almost as we're going to be speaking, Saturday, March 3rd. At this moment, I don't know who their opponent is, to be honest with you.
And I haven't got around to finding out the dates of play for the English College or for the BEDA?
Right, there's 16 colleges. The CSI Spot website lists all 16. They're in two groups, Girone A and Girone B. And as a matter of fact, the North American is in the same group of the first two teams that played, the Gregorian and the Mater Ecclesiae of the Legionaries of Christ. So a real fun thing. People are watching it. Obviously, there's not a seminarian in town who's unaware of this. You know,
And I'm sure that Cardinal Bertone, with his reputation for loving football, is avidly watching.
Oh, and he had a message for the players at the beginning, as did Cardinal Pio Laghi, who was there. And as happens in American baseball, you'll have a president or somebody throw out the first ball. Well, Cardinal Laghi kicked the first ball in the game.
Great.
And the game took over from there. But I understand one little piece of trivia is that there's an Italian priest, Davide Tisato. He's 23 years old. He must have been just ordained. He used to be part of a top-notch youth soccer team in Verona. So he's playing for the Roman seminary, Redemptoris Mater. And the oldest player, this fascinates me, is a 54-year-old Basque, Father Yarza Inaki. And you know, here we are recording on Vatican Radio. I understand Vatican Radio, for the first time in its 76-year history, did a reportage of a sporting event.
And having been talking about the Clericus Cup, we're still on matters clerical with the Pope meeting the priests of the Roman diocese.
Exactly. He did this just before entering in. I think it was his last audience before entering into the spiritual retreat. There's an annual meeting with the Cardinal Vicar of Rome, the auxiliary bishops, and the pastors of Rome's 338 parishes. It was 90 minutes, really, of wonderful conversation, give and take, laughs. You can't imagine, just off the cuff questions asked of the Holy Father, and then just off the cuff answers. There was no prepared text that he read from. And apparently there were a lot of great laughs, wonderful insights, great really conversation between the bishop and his priest. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the first things that Pope Benedict told the seminarians. Since it was off the cuff, there was no text that could be released simultaneously.
And it wasn't recorded.
And so whoever was there taking notes or whatever, the Vatican released the entire text of it, I think it was 2 days later. But one of the first things that the Pope told the priests, he said, "It's good to hear from my priests." He said, "It makes me feel like a bishop." And then he spoke about the youth ministry, prayer, Eucharistic adoration, scriptures, relativism, shrines, arts. These topics were all touched on in questions that the seminarians asked him. And I know that the priests asked him, and one of the things he did talk about a few days before when he met with seminarians was the importance of daily mass, daily prayer, reading of the scriptures, and being available to people. And he very much reiterated a number of those points talking to the pastors. In particular, he talked about the importance of reading Holy Scripture, noting that the theme of the 2008 Synod of Bishops will be the Scriptures and the Bible. And he was asked by one pastor how to balance the spiritual and pastoral dimension. In other words, your time for prayer, your personal time for prayer, along with all the duties you have as a pastor. And I really loved the Pope's answer here. He was very introspective, saying, "The Gospels tell us that during the day the Lord worked. At night he was on the mountain with his Father and he prayed. Here I," says Benedict, "I must confess my own weakness, because at night I cannot pray. I want to sleep." But seriously, he said, we must nonetheless find free time for the Lord.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.